Our scripture this morning is from Philippians 4, 4 to 7. When I first looked at it, I was surprised to see that I was familiar with three out of the four verses because of scripture songs I have learned to sing. Philippians 4, 4 reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Join me if you know the song. Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. The next verse is the verse I don't recall reading or singing. It contains this morning's virtue or seed of gentleness. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I checked to see if someone had put it to music, and they had. As I was trying to learn the song, I thought it'd be easier for me to remember the tune if I could use the same tune as verse 4. And sure enough, with a few adaptations, it works. I'll sing a line and invite you to join me on the repeat. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near, the Lord is near, the Lord is near, the Lord is near. I know a scripture song based on verses 6 and 7. I have sung the scripture frequently over the years, often when I realized I was worrying instead of praying once again. As I sing it, I invite you to think about how or where these words might apply to your life. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank God for all God has done. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank God for all God has done. And the peace of God, far beyond what you can understand, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Our hymn of preparation is a prayer describing God as our gentle shepherd and asking God to lead us and feed us.
Number 718, Gentle Shepherd, Come and Lead Us. And we're going to sing it through twice.
Come and lead us, for we need you to help us. Good morning. When first reading and then singing our scripture, I wondered, how do these verses connect to each other? I decided to go ahead and begin the research I usually do when preparing to preach, hoping it would become clear to me. I looked at the setting of the scripture to see if that would help me understand the connection. I looked at different translations and commentaries to see the variety of ways others understand the scripture and see what resonated with me. I looked at other scriptures that speak to the topic of gentleness in the Bible. I used a couple of spiritual practices, for example, imagination and Lectio Divina, where I read or sang the scripture three times in a row. First time, listening for a word or phrase that stood out for me. Second, listening for how that word or phrase connects to my life. And third, listening for an invitation from God. Here are some of the things that have stood out for me from my research and attempts to listen for what God might be saying to us this morning. First, the setting. The book of Philippians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church he had started in Philippi. Paul wrote it while he was in jail, or as he put it, chained on account of Christ. Despite his circumstances, Paul's letter is full of joy. The words joy or rejoice occur 14 times in this short letter. In the verses just prior to today's scripture, I was surprised to find Paul urging two of his former female co-workers in the church at Philippi to be of the same mind in the Lord. Another translation puts it, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. I found this background of conflict both helpful and challenging. I'm not sure I always think about being gentle when I'm in a disagreement with someone. Do you? When it comes to other scriptures that demonstrate or encourage gentleness, what comes to your mind? I thought of the way Jesus gently responded to the woman caught in adultery, saying, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I also noticed that Jesus wasn't harsh with her accusers, saying, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. I see Jesus being both gentle and stern. I also thought of the verse we heard last week, where Jesus describes himself as gentle in Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Through my research, I found that gentleness is encouraged many times throughout the Bible. Here are just a few examples that caught my attention. 1 Peter 3:15, share your faith with gentleness and respect. Titus 3:1-2, avoid quarreling and always be gentle toward everyone. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And Proverbs 25:15, patience and gentle talk can convince a ruler and overcome any problem. On that positive note, I'll move on to the spiritual practice of Lectio Divina. Since I did Lectio Divina many times over my weeks of preparation, a lot of phrases in this scripture passage, along with some words within the phrases, have stood out to me at some point. So I'll just go through the scripture passage and share some of my reflections and some invitations that I sensed. I trust that what stands out for me may be helpful in some way to you as well. Could we have the slide, first slide, please? Beginning with verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. As I considered my life, I realized it's one thing to rejoice in the Lord when I'm feeling positive. But when I'm feeling overwhelmed with challenges and worries, I don't always feel like rejoicing in the Lord, especially when I have a disagreement with someone. Seems to me Paul is saying rejoicing in the Lord is important enough to repeat. I repeat, rejoice in the Lord. The invitation I sense from Paul, which he seems to be modeling, is to rejoice in the Lord regardless of my circumstances. Verse 5, the first phrase, let your gentleness be evident to all. One time, the word let stood out for me. I recalled Zach saying in his intro on the first week of the series, and I'll admit I had to look it up, we are asked to be receptive to the cultivation of God and participate in the growing, even if the tilling and the tending sometimes disturbs parts of us that we'd rather have left alone. In other words, we have a choice as to whether we let or allow the gift of gentleness God has planted in us to be cultivated. Another time, the word your stood out for me. Let your gentleness be evident to all. I sensed another invitation to own the seed of gentleness God has planted in us. And that brings us to the next phrase, gentleness. A next word in the phrase, gentleness. Let your gentleness be evident to all. I wonder, how do you and I view gentleness? Do you see gentleness as a strength or a weakness? Gentleness is sometimes translated as meekness, which is often confused with weakness. In my research, I was happy to find that the Greek word for gentleness means strength under control. I like that description, strength under control. I found the following illustration helpful. A wild horse and a tame horse both have the same strength. The wild one can't be used effectively because the trainer has no control, but the tame, gentle horse can be used very effectively by its trainer. I wondered, how wild or gentle are we? Are we choosing to let God train us in gentleness so God can use us more effectively? When the words be evident stood out for me, let your gentleness be evident to all, I imagined a court of law. I wondered, if gentleness were outlawed, would I be arrested and found guilty because of the overwhelming evidence of my gentleness? Would you be found guilty? Then I wondered, who did I know that I thought would be arrested for gentleness for sure? Zach was the first person that came to my mind, as I have seen evidence of his gentleness with the children. I've seen evidence of his gentleness with himself when he has made a mistake. And I have seen evidence of his gentleness with me when I have been harsh with myself or others. And that brings me to the words, to all. Let your gentleness be evident to all. With some people and in some situations, I find it easier to be gentle than in others. Paul doesn't say we can pick and choose when we want to be gentle. When thinking about being gentle to all, especially when I'm arguing with someone, I sense the invitation to not only be gentle with my words and actions, but maybe I need to start with being gentle with my thoughts. I wondered, is there someone in particular with whom I tend to disagree, that God is inviting me to be gentle towards in my thoughts, in my words, and in my actions? Who might that be for you? Who might God be inviting you to be gentle towards? Might it be someone in our families, a life partner, a parent, a child, a sibling? Might it be someone here at church? Or a neighbor, someone at school or at work, a friend, a politician? Might it be ourselves? Do you ever think about speak to or treat yourself harshly? I think Zach's comments on the first Sunday of this series, when we were focusing on self-compassion, are relevant to being gentle with ourselves as well. If you need a refresher, you can check out his sermon on our website. The next phrase in verse 5 gives one source for Paul's joy and gives me hope. The Lord is near. These words remind me that God is always with me. I'm not alone trying to do something in my own strength. God is ready and waiting for me to say yes to God cultivating the seed of gentleness in me, so that my gentleness will be evident to all. And that brings us to verse 6. Could we have the next slide? In this verse, I see one invitation after another. The first invitation is, don't worry about anything. What have you and I worried about this past week? My list includes the decisions of politicians, health for myself and others, home maintenance, people who are homeless here and around the world, writing and presenting this sermon, and practicing what I'm preaching about gentleness. I wondered, is not worrying even possible? The next phrase and invitation is, instead, pray about everything. How many things on our worry lists have you and I prayed about? While I have prayed about most of the things on my list, I confess there are some I'm still hanging on to rather than releasing them to God. Now, I don't interpret this invitation to mean that I don't have to do anything but pray regarding the concerns I'm worried about. Instead, I think it means that I ask God to show me what God is calling me to do, and then trust God to be at work in the situation. The last phrase in verse 6 invites us to pray in certain ways. Tell God what you need, and thank God for all God has done. I think I'm more likely to tell God what I want and ignore or forget to thank God for all God has done. Maybe in worship response time, we can talk about how to distinguish between our needs and our wants. Can we have the next slide for verse 7? Verse 7 seems to hold a promise, and the peace of God, far beyond what we can understand, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul does not promise that God will do whatever they request, but he does promise that when the Philippians pray about things, God will change the Philippians themselves. When they really pray about their problems and worries and choose to be thankful, God will give them peace. I can attest to the fact that when I prayed about some of the things I was worried about this week and consciously decided to let go of the worry rather than still hanging on to it after I prayed, I was surprised to find out I was able to do what I could do and then relax and experience God's peace. So far, we've been focusing on allowing God to cultivate gentleness in us as individuals. What about us as a congregation? Can you imagine our congregation getting a letter from Paul inviting us to rejoice in the Lord always and to let our gentleness be evident to all? I wonder, who might be included in the all? Do we have disagreements with anyone as a congregation? If so, is our gentleness evident to them? This is something else we might want to discuss in worship response time. In summary, I have concluded that when we rejoice in the Lord, regardless of our circumstances, when we cooperate with God, cultivating our gentleness in us so it is evident to all, when we are mindful of God's presence with us, when we stop wasting time and energy worrying, when we ask God for what we need and thank God for what God has done, the more we will experience God's peace. May it be so.
Our hymn of response is number 150, Gentle God, When We Are Driven.